Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's October the 31st, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, Chinese scientists say they've discovered a new strain of bird flu that sidesteps vaccines. And the Secretary of Agriculture says USDA will deliver a version of the 2007 Farm Bill to Congress for consideration early next year. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear from the statisticians in the Midwest. They'll update harvest and crop progress in the Corn Belt. And I'll have a retraction on a BT corn hybrid story we ran last week. Oh, and just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report. Well, I have a correction to make on a story. That October 20th release of the Illini Farm Report, that's what I produce as part of my duties for University of Illinois Extension, included a story on the head-to-head BT rootworm trials here at the U of I. We ran this story a couple of weeks ago. It suggests the U of I has a BT corn preference, Herculex, over YieldGuard for East Central Illinois. This is not the case. The last sentence in that story was wrong. I misquoted U of I Extension entomologist Mike Gray. The sentence read, he suggests those in East Central Illinois choose either Herculex BT or a soil-applied insecticide. The sentence was not a direct quote, but the following is from Mike Gray. The sentence, he says, should have read, he suggests those in East Central Illinois consult a local seed agronomist and carefully weigh the merits of YieldGuard, Herculex, and soil-applied insecticides, making a decision based on their personal experience with the products. You have my apologies for the mistake. Again, the U of I has no specific recommendation on which BT rootworm protection products to use in East Central Illinois. You may read the results of the University of Illinois Western Corn Rootworm Trial Studies for yourself. They're online at www.ipm.com. uiuc.edu/bulletin.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at 483, down 18 cents today. The March futures were off 17.5 at $5.03. December corn futures off 8.75, 320.75 the settlement price there. The March futures at 334.75, off 8.25. And the May at 341.5, they were off 8 cents. July futures were down 7 at $3.48.75. November beans, 630.25, down 9.5. January futures at 644.25, down 9 cents. And the March contract down 8.25 at 654.5. Next year's Noves at 681.5 were off 5.5 cents today. December bean meal futures at 189.60, they were down $2 even. December bean oil at 26.83, off 44 cents. November feeder cattle 35 cents higher at 103.97.5 over at the Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle at $90.40, up 35 cents. And December futures in the live cattle pit off 85 cents today at $87.82.5. December lean hog futures $64.95, and they were down 30 cents on the afternoon. Taking a quick look at the outside markets, crude oil, December futures up 34 cents. The January futures were up 46. December at $58.80 a barrel. The Jans at $60.70 a barrel. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 33 points lower at 12,113 for the afternoon. And one other note for the afternoon, we'll take a look at the December contract for next year in the corn pit, which we did not give you, at $3.27.75, and they were off 6.25 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
Joining us now to take a look at what's been happening in the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace and the drop that we had both in the wheat and the corn. Fairly pronounced, especially in the wheat, but the corn futures ended up anywhere between 4 and 9 cents lower for the afternoon.
You know, we thought earlier when we held early in the day, we held the support points on the first breakdown. Looked like support was going to hold, and that last 15 minutes sort of took a lot of out of it. Our pit brokers are telling us that there was more activity in the spread pit than it was actually in the futures, but that the lot of funds, today was their year-end, not just the quarterly end, but their year-end this year, and they had a lot of profits, and they wanted to bank them here for year-end to make their P&L look good. So that was part of that. The other part was we've seen a slowdown in exports because of the increased prices, and we're also seeing a little more farmer movement at these levels. The farmers are a lot more willing to sell corn over $3 just off the combine and not pay storage costs. And remember, the farmer's not getting his LDP payments this year, so he does need a little cash flow.
Because this was year-end, would you expect a repeat tomorrow? Has there been any damage done technically? Did we hit sell stops on the way down? What's the deal?
Well, of course, there was a few sell stops hit, I think, along the way, and also we did close below some major points here. So technically, a little damage done, of course, on the way that we closed that way. But here again, we're dealing with a new, different ball game in that were these people that got out today, if they're still feeling friendly, will they get back in tomorrow for the start of their new year? Or will they look at their charts and say, we're going to wait for a buy point to get back in? And if they're waiting for that buy point, it could be self-fulfilling that it goes down a little farther. We've all been looking for a break in this market. This has been just very, very, very unusual to go straight up like we have through the harvest season, especially with the record production, carryovers big in beans and production being good, and even some pretty strong carryouts in the corn market for what we need. I know our needs are very big down the road, but it's been a very unusual year.
The wire services said some of it was long liquidation on the fund side, and you explained that just a bit up front. Would you think that they might be of the mindset to continue that? And if they do that, which pits would you have to watch? Is it the wheat that you need to watch if it were to continue to break tomorrow?
The wheat is going to be somewhat of the leader, Todd, because they were the ones, as you can remember, run that wheat up like gangbusters, forcing a lot of the locals and everybody into a bad situation. So they're very long, the wheat, especially the December wheat. There's a lot of the spread traders talking now that they would still like to bear spread the wheat, knowing that the golden roll has to come, and a lot of these big funds that did put a lot of the wheat traders out of business are very long the wheat pit. So that's where the most liquidation would probably be. We have to remember also the corn pit is historically long the funds there, with what they own. So a lot of it going on that way, too.
It was first notice day today in the November beans. Tell me about that.
Large deliveries over in the bean pit, larger than expected, especially the way some of the process has been bidding up for beans as of late. We did see a setback on a lot of at the river and a lot of local processors in the bean market yesterday, but the Gulf didn't seem to change. It was still hanging in there about the same. So, but large deliveries generally is something you buy, but old tendencies haven't really held firm for this year, but it sure wasn't the thing to do today with beans being down 9.5.
But just about a minute left. Tell me about the mercantile exchange, the hog pit in particular, please.
Well, the hogs continuing to be under some pressure here. We thought that, we thought we'd see a little better attitude over there with the corn and meal being a little bit lower today, and maybe the idea that they could set back. But I think a lot of these, there's a lot of hogs, and we're just continuing to set back with supplies.
All right. Anything else we need to add before I let you go for the day?
I think that there was a news article out about the Purdue economist talking about increased 10 million acres of corn next year. And I talked to Chris here, and he says that's on the top end of things. That isn't what he's just predicting.
All right. Thanks much. We appreciate the correction.
Okay.
That is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joining us here on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day. Our own Ed Kieser says tonight in the north and central sections of the two-state region, clear to partly cloudy skies. In the south, mostly cloudy, a chance of a few scattered showers there. Lows will range from 20 in far northwestern Illinois to 40 in southeastern Indiana. Tomorrow in the north and central sections, mostly sunny in the south, partly sunny. A chance of showers in the far south during the morning. Highs will range from 47 in the north to 54 in the south. Tomorrow, wind speed 7 to 14 miles an hour. The extended forecast, dry weather expected Thursday through Sunday. Except for a chance for a few scattered showers in the north on Saturday. In general, open weather, late harvest is expected through the weekend. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, scientists in China today say they have discovered a new strain of bird flu that appears to sidestep current vaccines. It's being called H5N1 Fujian-like. Officials at the World Health Organization say the new strain does not indicate increased risk for people. A study by Marshfield Clinic Center researchers say antibiotics used by poultry producers can increase the risk of resistance in humans to similar drugs. The study centered around the use of virginiamycin, an antibiotic used to grow bigger chickens. Marshfield Clinic Research Center physician Edward Balanza.
The use of virginiamycin as a growth promoter in poultry may pose a risk to humans long term. Even though there's not any resistance that is immediately apparent, that is, this is a more subtle problem, a longer-term issue, but it suggests that using this drug in animals is not harmless and could have consequences.
Balanza says the study shows a need for caution when using certain drugs as growth promoters, and he adds the issue should be reviewed by the poultry industry and regulatory agencies. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says the agency will offer Congress specific suggestions for Farm Bill 2007. Johanns says the USDA's Farm Bill proposals will arrive on Capitol Hill early next year. In Johanns' words, "I think when you read it, I don't think you'll be walking around asking yourself, I wonder what Mike Johanns thinks." Johanns says a proposal will deal with everything from commodities to conservation to rural development. A task force is recommending a four-stage plan to end the Canadian Wheat Board's monopoly on wheat and barley exports. The report, released yesterday in Ottawa, suggests the federal government launch a new wheat board and oversee a transition phase. USDA's Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs says U.S. slaughterhouses are closely watching to see whether South Korea approves sale of a Kansas shipment of beef, the first to arrive in South Korea in 3 years. Chuck Lambert says the shipment will answer questions about South Korea's zero-tolerance standard on bone chips and fragments in boxed beef.
By actually having product being inspected, it will help provide some information about how the Koreans will handle these issues. As I said, there's been a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions raised by parties in the industry, but by actually testing this, it will provide additional information that as to how the system will operate.
South Korea was the third largest U.S. beef customer before discovery of the first U.S. case of BSE in December of 2003. And a new poll conducted by the Center for Rural Strategies between October 22nd and 24th found that support among rural voters has shifted to Democratic candidates. The poll of rural voters in 41 congressional districts found voters preferring Democratic candidates over Republican candidates by a 52-39% margin. In contested Senate races with significant rural populations, rural voters prefer Democrats by a 47-43% margin. In next week's elections, Democrats need to pick up 15 seats to take control of the House and 6 seats to gain control of the Senate. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at WILLAG.org. Well, the crop progress reports released yesterday afternoon showed that harvest for corn at 68% around the nation was running just behind the five-year average, which is 71%, but well behind this date last year at 78% harvested. Soybean harvested at 83% yesterday. Average on the 5 years, 85%. And last year, 91% of the soybeans were out of the ground and in the bin. Well, off of the plant and in the bin. We've got the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska now to bring you up to date on their regions.
This is Brad Schwab with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 29th. Cold and wet conditions slowed field work again last week, especially in the southern part of the state. The two southernmost districts averaged over 2.5 inches of precipitation, while all districts averaged from 8 to 10 degrees below normal for the week. Corn harvest continued between rains, with some lodging problems being reported. Soybean harvest, on the other hand, was basically stopped by the wet conditions in most areas of the state. The winter wheat crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition, however, would certainly benefit from some warmer temperatures. Fall tillage and fertilizer applications continued as weather permitted. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies averaged 3% very short, 11% short, 62% adequate, and 24% surplus. There was an average of 3.5 days suitable for field work. Taking a detailed look at the crop progress numbers from last week, corn harvest advanced to 83%, trailing last year's 93% and the five-year average of 85%. Leading the state in corn harvest was the West Southwest Crop Reporting District at 96%. Soybean harvest advanced by only 6 percentage points to 88% complete, which compares to 96% 1 year ago and 90% for the five-year average. The West Crop Reporting District continued to lead the state in soybean harvest progress at 93%. In other crops around the state, sorghum harvest continued at 78% complete, trailing last year's 88% and the five-year average of 80%. Winter wheat seeding continued at 90% complete, which compares to 97% 1 year ago and 87% normally. 52% of the wheat crop has emerged, well behind last year's 81% and the five-year average of 66%. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAF, and this is the crop and weather report for the week ending October 29th. Harvest of corn and soybeans made some progress until rain showers stalled field activities midweek. Corn condition is rated 72% good to excellent. 49% of the corn acreage has been harvested compared to 77% last year and 67% for the five-year average. 71% of the soybean acreage has been harvested compared with 92% last year and 86% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated as 57% good to excellent. 84% of the winter wheat acreage has been planted compared with 93% last year and 85% for the five-year average. 41% of the winter wheat acreage has emerged compared to 71% last year and 63% for the five-year average. Pasture condition is rated as 67% good to excellent. Last week they were 3.3 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture was rated 1% short, 46% adequate, and 53% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 1% short, 69% adequate, and 30% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.07 inches to 2.55 inches, and temperatures averaged from 7 to 11 degrees below normal with a high of 59 and a low of 20. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending October 29, 2006. Harvest progress was only slightly affected by rain at midweek. The statewide average precipitation was 0.37 inches, or about two-thirds of the weekly normal of 0.53 inches. Temperature for the week averaged 5.3 degrees below normal. Iowa farmers harvested 19% of the state's corn crop and 3% of the soybean crop during the past week. Over 2.6 million acres of cropland were harvested last week. Though harvest advances were made last week, southwest and south-central Iowa still have nearly one-half of their corn for grain and almost one-fifth of their soybeans still in the field. In addition to harvest, grain was being hauled to elevators or to farm bins. Manure was spread, fertilizer applied, field tilling work was also conducted. There were 4.8 days suitable for field work last week, less than last year's 6.4 days suitable and the five-year average of 5.1 days suitable. Topsoil moisture rated 14% very short or short, 77% adequate, and 9% surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 28% very short or short, 68% adequate, and 4% surplus statewide in Iowa. Corn harvest reached 67%, 10 percentage points behind last year and 1 percentage point behind normal. The standing corn moisture was 18%, 1 percentage point above last year. Harvested corn moisture was 17%, 2 percentage points above last year. Soybean harvest was 94% complete, 9 days behind last year and 3 days behind normal. Pasture and range rated 14% very poor or poor, 38% fair, and 48% good or excellent. Cattle continued to be moved onto corn stubble fields. This has been Joe Prusaki reporting from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 29, 2006.
This is Mark Harris reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 29, 2006. Producers were able to harvest most of the week. Corn harvest was 54% complete, 8 days behind last year's 76 and 5 days behind the 66% average. Soybean harvest was 89% complete, nearly 2 weeks behind last year's 98, and 1 week behind the average of 94%. Sorghum harvest was 53% complete, 8 days behind last year's 79%, and 1 week behind the average of 71. Winter wheat conditions rated 75% good or excellent, above a year-ago level. Nearly all the winter wheat had been seeded, and most had emerged. Pasture and range conditions rated 19% good or excellent. This has been Mark Harris, Director of USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending October 29, 2006. Corn harvest advanced 29 percentage points during this past week, aided by dry weather. The corn and sunflower harvest reached the 80% complete mark, while producers were also busy with fall tillage and fertilizer applications. An estimated 6.2 days were suitable for field work. The average temperature for the week was 37.4 degrees, 3.8 degrees below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies were rated 2% very short, 20% short, 77% adequate, and 1% surplus. 81% of the corn was harvested, that is 15 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. The average moisture content for the corn harvested was 17%. Sunflower harvest was 80% complete, 14 percentage points ahead of average. The sugar beet harvest was nearly complete, with only 1% remaining to be harvested. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending October 29, 2006. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason with WILL AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up next.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Teachers in the Hoopston area schools will vote tomorrow afternoon on a tentative contract. Union and school board negotiators started a bargaining session last night and didn't come out until nearly dawn this morning. A spokeswoman for the union won't say what the tentative deal contains or how long it'll last, but she says details will be released when the teachers vote on the deal tomorrow and the Hoopston School Board ratifies it a week from Thursday. A federal mediator helped in the negotiations, which had been stalled since the previous contract ran out last August. A group of University of Illinois student organizations is planning a forum to address the impact of a controversial party the two Greek organizations on campus threw earlier this month. The groups protested on the quad over the noon hour, saying the so-called tacos and tequila party had a racist theme. The organizations say the party underscores a hostile atmosphere on campus. No serious injuries were reported in a smoky fire that forced the evacuation of a state government building in Indianapolis this morning. Fire officials say it began in the insulation of the top floor of the Government Center North building while work crews were there. First quarter profits have more than doubled for Archer Daniels Midland Company. Decatur-based ADM credits the improvement partly to its oilseed processing operations, which grew due to better market conditions. A new poll of likely voters in Illinois' governor's race shows Democrat Rob Blagojevich now with a 15 percentage point lead over Republican Judy Bart Topinka. The Chicago Tribune WGN-TV poll also shows 13% of voters support Green Party candidate Richard Whitney. Another 13% were undecided. Some Illinois Supreme Court justices are getting to see what it's like on the other side of the bench in a courtroom in Kane County today. Justice Rita Garman and retired Justice Marianne McMorrow testified in a multi-million-dollar libel suit against a suburban Chicago newspaper today. Chief Justice Robert Thomas alleges the Kane County Chronicle damaged his reputation in a series of articles 3 years ago. Former Chronicle columnist Bill Page wrote that Thomas had softened his position in a disciplinary hearing for a former Kane County state's attorney. Page claimed that Thomas changed his stance after the state's attorney's supporters backed a judicial candidate that he favored. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We're joined by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the forecast for Halloween and the rest of the week. Hi, Don.
Hello there.
It's gotten cold here. Kind of a cool, spooky draft, I
think. Yeah, it's going to be chilly tonight for trick-or-treaters, no doubt about it. Temperatures tonight we'll be dropping down into the mid-20s in many areas, but the good news is the rain clouds are moving out of the region, and it looks like high pressure is going to come in. But it's going to be November high pressure, so it's going to be cool. Temperatures in many areas not getting out of the 40s for the next several days.
Will the sunshine hang on with us?
It will. It will be sunny, and it will be dry. It's just going to be cool, but we actually are going to put together, it looks like, a pretty good stretch of weather from tomorrow that will last through the weekend and into early next week, at least into Monday, where the weather looks fair and drier, gradually getting warmer, maybe some 50s by the weekend. But for remaining harvest operations, the weather is going to clear out here for about 5 to 7 days towards the middle of next week, maybe as early as Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll bring the next chance for showers.
And does that go all the way to the far eastern part of the Corn Belt?
It will. It will go west to east right across the Corn Belt, so those eastern areas can expect some moisture next week.
Yeah, but they'll have the sunshine as well, so they can finish up or at least catch up in their harvest, probably finish up too if they get started.
Yeah, the next 5 or 6 days is going to really open up a good window of opportunity here. Hopefully folks can take advantage of it.
And then in South America, have they been planting?
They have, although there has been some wet areas in Brazil. Argentina, which got some rain last week, is looking at not as much shower activity, so there should be more planting progress there. Brazil may be a little bit slower.
That takes care of the soil. Let's go to the wheat just a bit and talk about the Great Plains states. It appeared that yesterday, in fact, USDA said the crop was looking pretty good, that had been up and growing. Will it continue to be weather conditions that are suitable for wheat growth?
Yeah, there's going to be some cold temperatures tonight down into the teens that may cause a little bit of concern. However, we're looking at conditions generally favorable. Precipitation has really picked up in some of those wheat areas here lately, and they stand to see some more next week as well.
All right. Leave the porch on, porch light on for the trick-or-treaters tonight, then.
Boo.
All right, boo. We'll talk to you later. Thanks much.
Bye-bye.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. Our thanks to Don and to Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities for joining us for this edition of the CMR. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets on the pre-opening Commodity Market Report. That with your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. And if you missed something you want to hear again, go back and listen to it right there on our website at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter, the podcast, and if you just want to hit an MP3 file and hear it all again, you can. It's at WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon and a good Halloween evening. I'm Todd Gleason. Thank you.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.